the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, welcome to Bubble Genius.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking for something for my ma, like a present. She likes stuff that smells real nice.
Oh, okay, let's see. We have lots of lovely Bath and Body treats. Something for everyone. How about make like a tree?
Make like a tree? Sheesh, some service. Make like a tree? Hey, why don't you take a long walk off a short pier?
No, I mean it's our make like a tree soap. A set of 8 mini soap leaves in a delightful, spicy, woodsy scent.
Leaves that lather up?
Yup! And like all of our spectacular soaps, they're 100% vegan-friendly and handmade right here in the U.S. of A.
Soap? That does smell real good. Hey, you're not saying my mom smells, are you? Wait.
Oh, no, of course not. You said she likes stuff that smells real nice. And if there's one thing we've got, it's a huge selection of scrumptious-smelling suds.
Well, all right then. Just so you're not. All right, give me one of them. Makes like trees. And wrap it up real pretty.
You got it. Bubble Genius, where there's something for everyone. Handmade by us in the U.S.
BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I don't know. Mr. Wentworth just told me to come in here and say that there was trouble at the mill, that's all. I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and fear. Fear and surprise. Our two weapons are fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency. Our three weapons are fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency and an almost fanatical devotion to the Pope. Our four. No. Amongst our weaponry are such elements as fear. I'll come in again.
I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Amongst our weaponry are such diverse elements as fear, surprise, ruthless efficiency, and almost fanatical devotion to the Pope and nice red uniform. Oh,
I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the
Inquisition?
I know. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. In fact, those who do expect...
Surprise.
Surprise.
Stop there.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady, oh.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is May 8th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. We're brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. Holy crap. I think I just saw a tarantula run across my studio floor.
Well, you are in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are these gigantic mother effing spiders that I occasionally will see one. And the body of these spiders, it's kind of small, but then they've got these gigantic legs. And one time I was chasing after one with a rolled up magazine. Don't tell PETA. I was chasing after it with a rolled up magazine, and it kind of stopped and reared up as if it was going to attack me.
Ouch!
Holy crap on a stick! Yeah, if I'm ever doing the show and you hear me stop talking and you hear the sound of footsteps running, that'd be me running for some sort of weapon to annihilate one of those spiders. Anyway, hey, we got to do a show, don't we?
Yeah.
Just a crap load of stuff to talk about this week. Gonna talk about Benghazi, of course, because the hysteria has reached once again a fever pitch. the hysteria on the right about Benghazi. I mean, it's insane. Oh, yeah. It's gotten to the point.
You know, honestly, I hear Benghazi and I sort of naturally tune out. Noah Rothman from Media, I tried very, very hard to prove that that there's something there.
Yeah.
That it's not just a Fox News, you know, a concocted Fox News and right-wing conspiracist, you know, nonsense.
Yeah.
And I got about halfway through it, and I read some of the links that he posted, and I thought, no, you know what? It's still pretty much crap.
There's nothing there. I mean, certainly there... Mistakes
and
are made.
What,
but I mean,
and what is there is nothing we haven't seen a whole lot of times before, with absolutely zero, with zero incident and zero event. You know, with any kind of controversy.
Well, there's. If you really look at something, an event like this that was happening second to second, where there's lots of chaos, where there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people involved, lots of moving parts. You know, there are going to be some miscommunications along the way. But nothing. There were no miscommunications whatsoever that actually resulted in more death or more destruction. You know, there's no connectivity between any of the you know, the communication glitches that occurred. When that's basically what they were. You know, it was just like the CIA in Tripoli was trying to commandeer a plane to get to Benghazi. And so they were going through the Libyan government and so forth, and the Libyan government being relatively brand new, and security forces and military there. And you know, they couldn't get one. They couldn't get one in time. You know,
I genuinely think that most people, I mean, you know that there is the vocal section of the right who will look for anything at all to hang around Obama's neck. That's always going to be there, and you're always going to have the jackasses in Congress, the McCains and Lindsey Grahams. Who will try to blow this up into something. But I really think that the average person doesn't care one bit about Benghazi.
Yeah.
I think that he or she looks at it the same way that we do, which is that, you know, you feel bad saying, well, you know what, the deaths of Americans is not that big a deal. And certainly I don't mean to diminish the deaths of Americans. But in a relative sense, what they do for a living, where they are, what we've seen happen overseas before, it's just there's no big controversy there. Mm-hmm.
No, there's not. There's not. And the hope from the right is that, and specifically the Republicans and Fox News Channel, the hope is that as long as they keep saying Benghazi Gate, Benghazi Gate, Benghazi Gate, that people are just going to realize, oh, I guess something terrible happened in the form of a cover-up or a conspiracy or whatever, that we need to be shameful of this. We need to be shaming the Obama administration. We don't know exactly why, but they're saying that there's something terrible happening here. So we should too. And that's the entire functioning of the Republican noise machine. This is what they count on. The marketing apparatus, the conservative entertainment complex, they count on the fact that if they keep beating this horse, that everyone's going to kind of go, well, okay, what they said.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the entire strategy behind this. All they want to do, the entire idea of this and every little controversy in between, you know, whether it's, you know, any of the other things that they've tried to latch on to the Obama administration, all of this is leading towards the notion of repeating the Clinton's second term impeachment chaos. Right.
Yeah, I mean, what they wanted to, and this is the, how many times have we talked about this? This is the, you know, this is the, we just want to wear you out and wear you down.
Yeah.
This is we want to make you hate the country so much. Hate, you know, because, you know, they're playing a gambit, but it's one that they've won so many times. Yeah, you know what? Polls show that they're being held accountable, that most people look at them and say, look, it's the Republicans' fault. They are the assholes in this situation. But amazingly, when push comes to shove, for the most part, they don't really suffer all that much. Mm. Because what happens is it always turns into, well, it's everybody's fault. It's all Congress.
Right.
And it's really not. But, you know, I mean, yeah, what they're trying to do is wear everybody out and just wear them down and create that sort of second term. This is what the Republicans do particularly. I mean, there's already a natural sort of, a lot of times, a natural fatigue from Americans when it comes to the second term of a president. It just, you know, you get used to the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like the last maybe four seasons of ER. After a while, it's just okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I mean, you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it so intolerable. I mean, they've been trying to make Obama's presidency intolerable, mm-hmm. but they're trying to make certainly the last 4 years of his presidency so just so intolerable, so filled with rage and craziness and more than we've already seen, that people will just be like, look, you know what? Next time around, we want a change in general, not just a change not just all right, a new guy, but somebody who's, you know, let's vote a Republican into office.
Yeah,
let's try that. Let's try an entirely new direction.
But that's exactly right. That's the calculation. The calculation is based on something that is actually quite true in American politics, which is that we often punish the president and the president's party when election year comes around. But we rarely do that with Congress. We always end up reelecting members of Congress. We always end up just reelecting them to multiple terms, whether it's the Senate or the House side.
Yeah, the Senate's bad. I mean, but the House, as you and I have discussed, the House is the worst because the House really is just basically a local election. You can get enough dumbass yokels from, you know, your district to vote for you and you're in.
Oh, yeah. As we just saw in South Carolina, which we're going to talk about later.
Exactly. Jesus.
But I mean, you know, the thing is that what happens is that we're going to hold, or they're hoping that the American people will hold the president accountable and subsequently Hillary Clinton accountable, that so much exactly. so that they'll vote for Republican nominee X.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. They're already trying to hang an albatross around the neck of Hillary Clinton.
But
they're trying to derail her presidential run before it begins. And I'll tell you,
right.
We all know. In this media culture, in this culture that we live in right now, where news cycles turn over in a day, anything can happen between now. My God, a million things can happen between now and Election Day. But right now, if you were to look at people right now and say, look, are you holding Hillary Clinton accountable for Benghazi? Most of them would be like, what the hell are you talking about? No, we like her.
Yeah. And no one's going to hold members of Congress accountable, even though they're tremendously unpopular.
Right.
I mean, I think we said last week, cancer is more popular right now than the Republican Congress.
And less dangerous.
And so they're banking on that. They can get away with whatever they want with impunity. I mean, they can just basically throw anything out there. And there's nothing there. I mean, on Benghazi, there is literally nothing there. There is nothing. There is no impeachable offense, no indictable offense that occurred in Benghazi, other than the people who actually did the shooting.
Right.
That's it. There is no evidence whatsoever. You go to Drudge. Go to the front page of Drudge right now. Well, there only is a front page. But go to Drudge and look at what's going on there. There are, you know, at least a dozen screamer headlines in red text above the logo. Shock testimony. Moment by moment account of attack. Emotional recollection of murderers. Death is a part of life. Dems blame budget cuts. You know, it's just like one, it's an entire list of headlines. And if you click on these links, they lead to nothing. There is no shock testimony behind the link that says shock testimony.
Nope.
There's a big, you know, the big headline above the logo is, what difference does it make? Quoting Hillary Clinton with a picture of Hillary Clinton looking like she's pounding her fist against the table and yelling. And you click that and there's no, it's a link to PolitiFact, like an op-ed piece at PolitiFact.
Right. So, I mean, I feel bad that we, and this is the meme culture that I've talked about so many times, mm-hmm. that we are now at this, even I've been guilty of it. And I mean, I put up quotes of the day all the time, and I try very, very hard when I put up those quotes to look at the context, mm-hmm. because, you know, I feel bad for Clinton that she picked those words because she's right. What difference did it in the context of what those jerks were trying to, you know, to hammer her with, those arrogant pricks.
Yeah.
What she said was absolutely justified.
Yeah, what difference does it make whether it was a terrorist attack or a spontaneous...
Right, but as soon as she said it, I'm like, there's your headline at Fox Nation. What difference does it make? You know, what difference does it make with pictures of the four dead Americans?
Yeah, and that's just, oh my God, suddenly every Republican, every conservative, every Fox News anchor is like a bleeding heart with regards to those four people who were killed, which was admittedly tragic, but not placed in the context of the thousands of people, the 3,800 people who have been killed since Sandy Hook by gun violence. You know, the 9/11 plus since Sandy Hook, dead because of handguns and firearms. Yeah, that I ain't gonna bleed. Bleed about that. What about the 13 attacks on U.S. embassies and consulates during the Bush years? They didn't even say a damn thing about that.
No,
not a damn thing.
Because it was just accepted. That, as a matter of fact, it was actually when it happened during the Bush years, what it was what it was used as a means, a cudgel to say, look, proof that there are people out there who hate us.
Yeah, that's right. It's the terrorists.
Right, it's terrorists.
Mm-hmm. It's the terrorists.
You know, and that all brings us back to the, you know, just the mammoth just the disgustingly shameless hypocrisy of during a time of war and when we've been attacked by terrorists and you don't comment, you don't make, you know, you don't say negative things about the president, and here they are.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You don't want to undermine the commander in chief while troops are in harm's way. You know, so we're not gonna bother talking about these 13 different terrorist attacks on U.S. embassies.
Just once, I want to hear some. Like we've talked about. I just once, I want to hear Gregory. I want to hear somebody stand up and hit these people with that. That's the only question I want answered.
Yeah,
is I want them to get, you know, the Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, Graham and McCain on his show because he's out there on every week and just sit there, face him, and say. All that time, you guys said you can't undermine the president, can't undermine the president at the time of war, can't undermine the president, you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy, and look at what you're doing now. I want to know how the freaking hell you sleep at night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I updated my list of all of those embassy attacks during the Bush years, and it's actually not 11, it's 13. Mm. 13 attacks, different attacks from 2002 through 2008. And then as I was going back through and fleshing out the details of each of these attacks, I also did a search with the names of each attack and the date and the search term Lindsey Graham in the hopes of maybe seeing whether Lindsey Graham actually condemned the Bush administration after those attacks, raised serious questions about why these attacks occurred. Four different attacks in Pakistan against U.S. embassy there. Two different attacks in Yemen, and not a single word. Why wasn't this thwarted? Why wasn't this stopped? Why didn't we beef up security after the first one so that it didn't happen three more times in Pakistan? Not a single search result. Not a single comment from Lindsey Graham.
Of course not.
Now, admittedly, maybe I wasn't being exhaustive enough with the search. But it's also possible that I almost entirely confirmed that he did not do anything, nothing along the lines of what they're saying about Benghazi, whether it's Graham or McCain or Fox News Channel or Steve Stockman or any of these other yahoos who are freaking out about Benghazi. One attack versus 13 different attacks. You know, and after the break, I've got more. I actually have more. You know what? I didn't even mention in that article I wrote for the Daily Banter today, didn't even mention the numerous attacks that occurred at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad during the Iraq War, which Lindsey Graham supported, which John McCain supported, which basically Fox News Channel became the propaganda outfit. So we're going to take a break and come back, talk more about this right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Okay, so let's go back to Reagan and talk about Ronald Reagan's record with embassy bombings. Because it's far worse than George W. Bush's, certainly worse than Barack Obama's. So what's the list? And this comes to us thanks to one of my Facebook friends who's, I think it's, God, I forget his name. I'm going to have to give him credit at some point. I have to look up his name. But he actually went through the trouble of going through all of the embassy attacks and bombings and so forth during the Reagan years. This is great. This is this started April 18th, 1983. The bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Beirut. 63 people killed, including 17 Americans. October 23rd, 1983. Bombing of the Marine Barracks in Beirut. 290 killed, including 241 U.S. Marines. More than 100 others wounded. December 12, 1983, bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Kuwait. Six people killed, including the suicide truck bomber, and more than 80 others were injured. March 16, 1984, CIA station chief William Buckley kidnapped. September 20, 1984, bombing of U.S. Embassy annex northeast of Beirut. 24 people killed, two of whom were U.S. military personnel. December 3rd, 1984, hijacking of Kuwait Airways Flight 221. Hijackers killed two American officials from the U.S. Agency for International Development. April 12, 1985, Madrid bombing, 18 killed, 82 wounded, including 15 Americans. June 14, 1985, hijacking of TWA Flight 847. A U.S. Navy diver was shot and his body dumped in the airport tarmac. August 8, 1985, bombing of U.S. military base in Frankfurt, Germany. Two killed, 20 wounded. Should I go on? October 1985, January 1980 through January 1986, hijacking of cruise ship Achille Lauro, an American killed. November 24, 1985, hijackers aboard Egypt Air flight kill one American. December 17, 1985, airports in Rome and Vienna bombed, killing 20 people, five of whom were Americans. April 15, 1986, bombing of La Belle Discotheque, two killed, including U.S. servicemen, 200 wounded. December 21st, 1988, bombing of Pan Am Flight 103, 270 killed. Where was the Republican Inquisition then?
Nowhere,
of course.
Right. Of course. And yeah, I get the responses like, well, 13 wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, horse crap. Horse crap. This is not about righting any wrongs. This is about consistency and hypocrisy. And politics. What this proves is that this entire thing about Benghazi has nothing to do with Chris Stevens or the three other Americans who were killed. It has everything to do with besmirching the Obama second term, completely derailing it so it can get nothing done. This is about making Obama not a one-term president, obviously, but this is an extension of that. Let's make Obama a one-term president. This is about hijacking the entire agenda for the second term of this president.
No.
So therefore, I mean, you want to talk about using dead bodies as props to play politics? This is exactly that. And screw Rand Paul and his other conspiracy theory buddies who want to turn Chris Stevens into some sort of villain by making it seem as if he's running guns to Syrian rebels sympathetic to Al-Qaeda.
You know, again, the hypocrisy, the conundrum, the giant conundrum. Mm-hmm. You know, there it is again. It's Chris Stevens was a great American and, you know, can't believe he died. You know, oh my God, the horror of him dying. But he was also this, you know, this evil guy who was running guns.
Yeah.
That's staggering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, you know, the one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. All at once, Chris Stevens is this hero who died because Obama lied. Which I don't understand that. I saw that meme all over the place, all over Twitter from trolls. Whatever. You know, Obama lied, people died. What? When? How did he lie? He lied first, and then they. How does that work?
That's it. They're trying to hijack the Bush thing, which of course was true.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bush did lie.
Yeah, they lied about WMD.
Yeah, they lied about all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be an order, folks. You're going to make up a meme. It has to have some sort of logic.
But that's not what they're doing. I mean, you hit it on the head the other day. Yeah. It's just all they're doing is they're trying to co-opt the stuff that's been used. Two moves. Try to co-opt the stuff that's been used against them and turn it around.
Which is Karl Rove's favorite trick, by the way.
Right, absolutely, yeah. Co-op that, and and I'm sure that the other one will come back to me, but my brain is fried right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's precisely it. I mean, this has nothing to do with any of the people who were killed. It has everything to do with politics, and that's the bottom line. You know, I got speaking of right-wing trolls on Twitter, got this guy today. His Twitter handle. This will give you an impression of what kind of person he is. His Twitter handle is American Honor 1776.
Yeah. Man, I can tell you're a real patriot since your screen name reflects it. Quite literally, the least you can do. To honor America.
Yeah, yeah. So I wrote something along the line. So I wrote a tweet about how, yes, the CIA and the State Department did send reinforcements before the attack on the CIA compound. So at some point between the attack on the consulate and the second attack on the CIA compound, yes, more reinforcements were deployed, and they arrived before that second attack, where two members of the CIA were killed, right? More reinforcements arrived. They commandeered a plane in Tripoli, flew to Benghazi,
and arrived to reinforce the officials at the CIA compound. And then after that second mortar attack, everyone was evacuated out by those reinforcements, including the dead and wounded. Okay, so I tweeted something about that, and then American Honor 1776 writes, fact, attacker knew precisely when where to attack, so who gave them this info? ?
There it is. There, Alex Jones.
There
right
it
there.
Is. Yep, yep.
Yeah, I got that Dan Bidondi thing that I posted yesterday.
Right.
I got howled at by some jag off on Twitter whose name was I actually appreciated this. He managed to get the screen name without putting any numbers or anything else after it. He managed to get the screen name Hillbilly.
Yeah.
So good for him. He managed to get there first. Because you know there have got to be 8 billion hillbillies on Twitter.
Yeah. that's a tough one to do. Yeah. That'd be like getting like liberal. My screen name is Liberal.
Right. Oh, that's what I was going to say. You just reminded me. That was the second thing I was going to. The other thing is to do stuff that, as you wrote in your piece the other day, do stuff just because it pisses off, quote unquote, libtards.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's it, because that's their thing. It's like a child on a playground.
Yeah, they're all trolls. The entire Republican Party, the entire Republican establishment, trolls.
Yeah, I never do anything specifically because it will upset somebody who I disagree with.
Nope.
I mean, granted, I mean, there have been plenty of times when I poke things with a stick just because I enjoy it, because, you know, it's kind of a dicky thing to do. But no, I mean, I don't have it as a philosophy that I need to do things to piss off people who have political views that, as a group, political views that are different than mine.
It's Sarah Palin troll politics. It's Sarah Palin drinking the super big gulp at CPAC.
Exactly. That's it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And there's no statement there other than to say, F you, liberals. So let's wait and see what they say. The liberals are going to really hate it when I do this. Slurp, slurp.
Yeah. Does that piss anybody off? Is anybody that stupid that they're sitting out there going, oh, that's Sarah Palin in her big gulp? I'm just looking at it going, Jesus Christ, you're an idiot. The
sad, sad people. Sad people who have nothing to say, nothing of value to say on policy.
Yeah, and by the way, when I'm not going to play the both sides meme, but when somebody else on the other side does try to do it, I find that offensive too. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to be fair about that. That it's like, there's just something dumb about being purposely antagonistic. Rethuglicans.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this because I'm saving the planet because it will it's going to piss off some asshole who lives in Texas.
Well, I should tell you about my response to American Honor 1776 on Twitter. He asks, just to recap, he asks, attacker knew precisely when, where to attack. So who gave him this info? ? Hashtag Benghazi. Mm-hmm. And I responded, I said, it was the Sasquatch at Area 51. And of course, No response.
Right. Yeah. Mine. I think the hillbilly guy wrote something back to me, and he said, "You're an authoritarian scumbag." And it was of course. Do I even need to tell you? It was YOUR. I retweeted it, which is something I never do. But I retweeted it and put, wrote at the front of it, said, "Oh, only one typo. Good for you."
Got a break back after this. Oh, that's great. It is fun to be antagonistic, but if you base an entire political movement around it, that's a problem. Oh, hey, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Everyone says to me, Bob, why is your show called the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show? Well, it's because Bubble Genius is a company, and they make great, great soap. And they decided to sponsor the entire show. So just like, I'm going to explain this. But it's just like the old-timey TV shows in the golden age of television, like the Texaco Star Theater and all of that stuff. The name of the sponsor is incorporated in the title of the show, yada, yada, yada. So that's what we did. So if you want to find out more about BubbleGenius.com, well, goddamn, go to BubbleGenius.com. They've got some of the best soap in the world. It's the best soap in the universe, as far as I'm concerned. Here's the latest special from Bubble Genius.
welcome to Bubble Genius.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking for something for my ma, like a present. She likes stuff that smells real nice.
Oh, okay, let's see. We have lots of lovely Bath and Body treats. Something for everyone. How about make like a tree?
Make like a tree? Sheesh, some service. Make like a tree? Hey, why don't you take a long walk off a short pier?
No, it's our make like a tree soap. A set of 8 mini soap leaves in a delightful, spicy, woodsy scent.
Leaves that lather up?
Yup. And like all of our spectacular soaps, they're 100% vegan-friendly and handmade right here in the U.S. of A.
Soap? That does smell real good. Hey, you're not saying my ma smells, are you? Wait.
Oh, no, of course not. You said she likes stuff that smells real nice. And if there's one thing we've got, it's a huge selection of scrumptious-smelling suds.
Well, all right then. Just so you're not. All right, give me one of them. Makes like trees. And wrap it up real pretty.
You got it. Bubble Genius, where there's something for everyone. Handmade by us in the U.S.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And when you go to BubbleGenius.com and you buy a bunch of soap, just go there and just buy a bunch of soap. And there's lots to choose from, I assure you.
I just noticed that I have the Daily Banter front page pulled up. Uh-huh. And I noticed that that Ben is stealing from me because he has a title for whatever thing he's recently written that's Dick Cheney is a effing idiot, which he put the, you know, the little stars for UCK. So it's like,
yep. Yeah. It's becoming
which is what I said about Alex Jones last week.
Right. And it's becoming a trend on the Daily Banter.
I'm a big fan of that. You know, I mean, I'm always, you know me, I'll swear my ass off when it comes to like inside the copy. But I figure if it's going to go out in tweets and stuff, I do try to edit the actual title of the piece.
Yeah. I got a great tweet from someone who said that the Daily Banter has become their go-to site for the ridiculous and bizarre. I took that as a badge of honor.
Well, that Dan Bidondi thing was a blast. I really enjoyed it. I mean, somebody sent me that out of the blue, and it's, I mean, that poor guy.
Yeah,
he's
I mean,
dumb.
This Facebook post that he wrote up.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just
everybody. For those out there who have go to the Daily Banter. I wrote a piece on Dan Bidondi, who was the guy who the idiot from the as I called him, the doughy doofus from InfoWars, who hijacked the press conference with false flag nonsense right after the Boston Marathon bombing, and the guy who was consequently told off on YouTube by an angry Boston resident who just beat the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. But either way, I got a hold of like a Facebook post that he put up, a status update that he posted to his private Facebook page, and it's just this lament where he just casts himself as like the founding fathers and Jesus, and he talks about how he's not allowed to see his child no more. The number of typos is beautiful.
He said that. He literally said that. I am not allowed to see my child no more.
But that's the thing that bothers me, though. It's like I 4-year-old daughter, and there is no political belief on earth that would make me and certainly no imaginary windmill I could joust at like this moron is, that would make me give up my, if that's the real reason why this is happening, give up or even threaten my relationship with my child.
Yeah.
And the idea that this idiot has done that, it's like you have to be mentally ill to me and truly unbalanced to sacrifice, if it's just you and you want to be the, you know, Horatius at the bridge and, you know, supposedly take on everything and, you know, you feel you're one of the founding fathers and you're, I think, what is it I called him? I said, you know, he's the hero America, not the hero America deserves, but the one it needs. He's our silent protector, our dark knight. You want to be that, then that's fine. But if there are people who depend on you, a child, for example.
Yeah.
And you're risking, you know, you're risking your relationship with that child over something as ridiculous as something that freaking Alex Jones sends you out to do.
Right.
You really have a problem. Yeah. And you're, you know, people should be angry at him, but you're definitely worth pity as well.
Right.
A lot of pity.
Yeah, I thought maybe you could do a dramatic reading of Dan Bidondi's Facebook post to the tune of
God. Yeah, you know what? God, I can God do that. Hold on. Let God me, bl-
Is it to the tune of God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood?
Oh, yeah.
I just love the fact that that song has, like, the whole chorus of it is a grammatical error. Okay, here we go. Here's his Facebook post.
Okay.
Want everyone to know, what we do at InfoWars is no joke, and we are not out just to get ratings. I am not allowed to see my child no more. I am banned from my former stations. I lost half of my family and friends, all because I stood up against the criminals in our government at the Boston bombing press conference. I sacrificed a lot, A-L-L-O-T, to bring people the truth and wake them up. Just like our founding fathers were called lunatics, where, W-H-E-R-E, called lunatics, conspiracy theorists, terrorists, all because we care for our country and our future. I, too, had to make that sacrifice just as they did, and most of all, just Yeshua, in parentheses, Jesus, did to bring truth to the world. God bless, and I am 100% full in to bringing the New World Order down. Dan Bidondi.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a big round of applause for Dan Bidondi. You know, the funny thing about this, and this is, I think, the heart of the matter, this guy is a journalist for InfoWars.
Yeah, right. Journalist my ass.
He's a writer and reporter for Alex Jones. And he can no longer see his child no more.
Good. Well, I mean, I'm like, you know what? I do feel sorry for him for that. I do. But I also think, you know, obviously there is a societal good there because, you know, he is not creating the next generation of psychotics through, you know, directly through his paternal influence.
Good way to put it. Hey, one last break back after this.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yeah. ELO. God damn.
Yeah.
I love this entire album from front to back, beginning to end, especially this song. This is one, you know. This is what I'd love to have on vinyl, and I just don't. I don't have it on vinyl. You almost got to listen to this album on vinyl. It just deserves its original format.
Right.
Anyway, we're back and continuing through here this gigantic list of stuff here with regards to Benghazi. But there's one last thing on Benghazi. Dick Cheney. You know,
say no more. As soon as he starts throwing in his two cents, a guy who should be put behind the wall, out behind the Hague, put up against the wall, out behind the Hague.
Well, they thawed him from his cryo freeze, and he has said regarding the Obama administration's performance on Benghazi, quote, when we were there on our watch, we were always ready. I guess he means there, the White House. On our watch, we were always ready on 9/11, on the anniversary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were always ready on 9/11, except for the actual 9/11.
Exactly. We were always ready, except for the one where it counts.
Right.
Yeah, the just, you know, and again, God.
I've never heard you react like that before.
It's mystifying. How they can say George Bush kept us safe, except for that one massive time.
He says,
You know what it is? It's that, oh my God. It's that Saturday Night Live sketch with Norm MacDonald playing Bob Dole debating Bill Pullman when he was a guest on it. Oh, and he's like, what is this? When President Pullman, whatever Pullman's name was, you know, in the movie,
it doesn't matter, 90 million
people killed on the planet. Bob Dole, nobody killed. 90 million people dead.
Right, right.
How the hell do you just leave that out? The most important thing. He kept us safe. He kept us safe after that one thing where all those thousands of people died.
And in fact, they didn't keep us safe. They didn't. There were further terrorist attacks on Bush's watch. It wasn't just the one and then done. I mean, almost immediately on the heels of 9/11, you had all of those anthrax attacks. Those guys were Islamic terrorists. Or no. I'm actually confusing. They were the DC snipers. Right. There were the anthrax attacks and then the DC snipers. I mean, you're living anywhere in the Washington, D.C. area, even up to when I lived in Pennsylvania and everyone was freaked out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
These guys terrorizing the Beltway in 95.
Oh, I remember. I loved, I mean, I hate to say it, I loved that story. As a story, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it was. Then you had this long list of embassy attacks, which every embassy and consulate is considered American soil. Yeah. You had the countless attacks in Iraq. You know, against contractors and certainly against our troops. I mean, it's just a long... And then there were other terrorist attacks inside the United States. Certainly not as dramatic as 9/11, but there were other terrorist attacks. I wrote an entire chapter of my book from several years ago, which documented all of the... In fact, according to Michelle Malkin's website, as of a couple of years ago, there were over 10,000 terrorist attacks on Bush's watch. And this is according to Michelle Malkin, for God's sake. But Cheney continues by saying, quote, "We always anticipated they were coming for us, especially in that part of the world. I cannot understand why they weren't ready to go." This is a guy who was vice president. He was basically the anti-terrorism, the counterterrorism czar of the Bush administration. 13 different attacks. Some of them, Karachi, Pakistan, 4 times.
Yeah.
God, just once, I'd like to hear Wolf Blitzer ask Lindsey Graham or David Gregory ask John McCain. Certainly he has enough chances. McCain's always on that show. Just ask him about where they were during all those attacks.
You know, and the thing that gets me the most, and this is why I just reacted the way I did, is because that's an insult to my intelligence.
Yeah.
It's not even a political thing. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. It's an insult to reality.
Yeah.
That you just mysteriously leave off 9/11 when you talk about Bush's record, mm-hmm. and that you think it's okay to insult, you know, to beat the crap out of Barack Obama right after a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
But you know, for years, if you said anything about Bush, you were beaten down as, you know, as aiding and abetting the enemy.
Yeah, as unpatriotic, as treasonous.
You're a traitor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically during the Bush years, the Bush administration patented and branded the idea of patriotism.
Yeah.
If you're a liberal and you said you were patriotic, well, no, you could, it couldn't possibly be that you were patriotic.
Right, it was a very special brand of patriotism.
Yeah,
didn't we talk about this one? Patriotism, you know, the word patriot has a bad connotation to me now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it does for a lot of people, and it didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, patriot was always a very positive word.
Yeah. No, it's always a positive one. I consider myself a patriot, for God's sake.
Right. But you're not that kind of patriot.
No.
And, you know, you're not a bumper sticker sloganeering rah-rah piece of crap patriot. Yeah. So, yeah, you don't count.
There's patriot lowercase p and patriot uppercase p. The uppercase p has been branded. So moving on here, while we're red-faced and outraged here, I wanted to bring up 3 more cases of babies with guns. For the benefit of Steve Stockman's bumper sticker collection. And if you remember, Congressman Steve Stockman, Republican Texas, proposed a bumper sticker. In fact, he's marketing this bumper sticker. It says, if babies had guns, there would be fewer abortions.
I can't get over what a wonderful, like, what a utopian idea that is for the right.
Babies with guns. Like, fetuses.
Babies with guns. It's perfect.
Well, you know, last week we had that tragedy in Kentucky where the 5-year-old shot a 2-year-old using a gun marketed specifically for children, a gun called a cricket.
The cricket. Oh, yeah, by the way, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned how 22s are, you know, you sort of mentioned that even though it's just a 22, it's still a real gun, yeah, and it can be used to kill people and so on and so forth. Actually, a 22 is the preferred weapon of some hitmen, and the reason why is because it's generally powerful enough. The round is generally powerful enough to penetrate the skull, but not to leave. So basically, what happens is the bullet goes inside your head and just bounces around.
Yeah. And if you remember what happened to Ronald Reagan, the 22 round fired by John Hinckley bounced off one of Ronald Reagan's ribs and headed directly for his heart and stopped, you know, just it, but the idea is that it bounced right off his rib.
Yeah, it's pretty well known that if you're always better off, if I hate to say it, it's terrible, but it's true. If you're shot, you're always better off with a through and through. Mm-hmm. Than you are with a bullet left inside you.
Yeah. Well, and the bullet plus the bullet left inside of you brings in fabric and hair and other stuff that creates infection.
And then you die of sepsis.
That's right. So we had that situation last week. And they're continuing to market this gun. The commercial for the Cricket is psychotic. It's absolutely psychotic.
It really
speaks directly to children. It's my first rifle. Possessive, like you're a child saying, "This is my first rifle."
I wish I had one. That way, I could kill mommy.
Yeah, and when the one kid opens up his rifle out of the box at the kitchen table, aims the rifle directly at his sister's head, and then the mother sitting in the gun store with her family aims her rifle directly at the son's head. I mean, it is absolutely absurd.
I wish I could rise up against the tyranny of mommy.
Jeez. I mean, staggering. So, I mean, that wasn't the only situation. There was last week, there was the child in the baby in Kentucky killing another baby, Steve Stockman, you dick. But this week, in fact, this is today. Texas boy 7 shot by his younger brother. Police.
Fantastic.
13-year-old Florida boy shoots 6-year-old sister in chest. Sedarius Spates, Florida 3-year-old, fatally shoots himself with Uncle Jeffrey D. Walker's gun. And again, this is right on the heels of that NRA convention over the weekend, which was just, it was like a Star Trek convention for psychopaths. You know, the difference between like a Star Trek convention and like the NRA convention is that Star Trek conventions and sci-fi conventions are for fiction. They're just people who like comic books and movies and toys. The NRA convention is for people who like to shoot stuff just to see it bleed. So we had, and this is the one thing, this is the thing I don't understand. This is the big thing that I don't understand about hunters, these big game hunters who, in the case of some of these exotic hunting expedition vendors, you know, pay as much as $31,000 to go to Africa to shoot these exotic animals. Some of them are borderline on the endangered list.
Right.
Like elephants, for example. They go and shoot elephants just to see them die.
Right.
I mean,
it's awful. But I think that, you know, I don't think that bothers me. So, and it does bother me. But I don't think that bothers me so much as the fact that for on a lot of these tours, there's no risk for the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? You get down there with a knife and fight a lion. If you kill him, you're a badass. You win. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are always...
That's a sport. That's sporting.
You can hide out at a safe distance with expert trackers and shoot the hell out of an elephant. Or, I mean, for God's sake, I didn't even know this was legal. There's a picture of a guy who shot a rhino. I mean, I thought those things were absolutely endangered. And then another guy, you know, the big poster on one of the podiums, you know, because they have all these space age vending stations, these booths set up at these conventions, like this big sort of space age podium. And on the front of the podium is printed a giant poster of a guy like bear hugging a leopard that he just shot. The leopard is larger than him. And he's just shot and killed this damn thing. This poor creature did nothing wrong. He's certainly not going to eat it for food. He just shot it to watch it die. Shot it to watch it die. To say that he was manly enough to have shot a leopard. This is our gun culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to think that these guys who like to shoot animals just to see them die and to bleed out and so forth, and then have their big gawking faces photographed with them, you know, holding them up or, you know, like exulting over the dead corpses of mm-hmm. these exotic, beautiful animals.
Right. These majestic creatures.
Yeah. These are
as opposed to this dumbass lummox who's got 35 grand to spare.
Yeah. These people are on that, I swear to God, they're on that serial killer spectrum somewhere.
Yeah,
like, what is the difference between these people and, like, Dexter? You know, the TV serial killer on Showtime who, you know, was identified and profiled by his own father as a child. You know, when he was killing animals because it satisfied a bloodlust in him. Identified by his own father, say, well, you know what? You're going to be a serial killer. And it turns out he was. Yeah. But, I mean, this is usually people who abuse animals are barely restraining the desire to do that to people. They're taking out some kind of barely controlled rage that they have. They're taking it out on an animal because they can. Because the animal cannot speak. The animal cannot protest, and the animal does not have the same rights as human beings do. And so they go and they pay $31,000 to shoot an elephant.
Well, there is a small difference psychologically, which is that even though they're probably safe mm-hmm. on these little tours, they probably imagine that these creatures are very dangerous, an immediate threat to them because they are such, you know, certainly if you encounter them one-on-one without your gun and, you know, not sitting in a hide or not sitting in a safari vehicle, chances are that animal would kill you.
Yeah.
But I think that what the difference is psychologically between that kind of thinking and a serial killer is that a serial killer truly enjoys killing and torturing something that's absolutely defenseless, mm-hmm. like a house cat or a dog or something like that.
Yeah,
I think that just psychologically, I think that's the one difference. I also think that psychologically, when you do something like that, you do it alone. Mm-hmm. When you do something like kill, you know, the crazy people who kill like small animals, I think that they do that alone. Whereas a lot of times the kind of personality that goes over on these hunts and kills things, they want to mount them. They want to be, you know, they're trying to show off what a badass they are.
Well, it's just, you know,
it's killer's not trying to show off what a badass he is.
Well, maybe they're just using the dangerous nature of those animals, those exotic animals, as an excuse.
It could be. Absolutely.
Well, they're dangerous, so, I mean, I guess we can either kill or be killed, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
Could be.
Well, even worse yet, I think even worse than the exotic animals was this shooting target called the X.
Yeah.
Short for ex-girlfriend, right? This, you know, this big-breasted, life-sized figurine that actually bleeds when you shoot it. It's you know, a woman with her...
This mannequin that has proportions that none of the guys wielding guns there could ever get in a million years.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and they were selling this. This company is selling that right next to their Obama statue that you can kill.
Exactly.
You know, you can pretend to kill. And there were several of those. There were several of those. Very obviously, the president, right? Because you're not supposed to undermine the commander-in-chief when troops are in harm's way, right? Right.
No, but you know, shooting at an effigy of the commander-in-chief is not undermining.
No, not at all.
You know what your problem is? You libtards don't have any sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, this is a prime example of doing something just to anger the feminazis and libtards, yep. etc. And that's why these guys do it. They go out and they get it. Hey, yeah, won't they be offended if they see me shooting at an effigy of my ex-girlfriend? Bam, bam, bam. With my metallic penis extender. Mm-hmm. By the way, according to a couple of studies, and this is important to reinforce, between 30 and 40% of women murdered in the U.S. each year are killed by a current or former intimate partner.
Oh, yeah. No, Louis C.K. had that great bit in his most recent comedy, you know, special on HBO, where he said, he's like, the fact that any woman agrees to go out with any man is just astonishing. She's taking her life in her hand because, you know, what is it we have to worry about? Heart disease. We are the killers of women.
Yeah.
We are like the prime danger to women.
I mean, it just shows, I think, and this is obviously a testimony to the wondrous nature of women, is that, you know, we're these idiots who are driven by this hormone, and we're much bigger and stronger, and, you know, but yet they still trust us. I mean, they really do.
To spin it in a funny way, that's exactly what Louis C.K. says. And you know me, I'm like, I have an issue when certain feminists, I think, accuse everybody, it's always the guy's fault. That really bothers me because I think that's unfair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, there are a lot of assholes out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not going to argue with that.
Well, yeah, and I think there's always that potential when you're a woman and you're first meeting someone, like Louis C.K. was talking about, you know, like you end up getting in the car with the guy and you're driving around and you're going on a date. And what did he say? I hope you don't end up dead tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, all the stuff we didn't get to today on the free show, we'll talk about tomorrow on the after party. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow. Bye.